begin at verses 12 through 19. Romans 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We were born in, we were shapen in iniquity, sin. Amen. In sin, according to the Word of God, did our mothers conceive us. Sin entered into the world. Do you suppose that in our world there has been an ongoing impact of the sin that entered into the world? Is it obvious? Do we have that understanding that the influence of the sin that is entered into the world by one man has had an ongoing effect? What's the difference between those two words, effect and effect? I want to know I'm using the right one. Brother Kendrick. Dr. Digital. Webster. What's that? And which one? Am I using the right one? Okay, so I should be saying affect. Have we been affected? Is humanity being affected day in, day out by the sin that entered into this world by one man, the first Adam? Wow, that's a powerful principle. For the actions of an individual of disobedience to have brought something into this world that we understand and live in that would affect his generation, the next generation, the next generation. One scripture says he visited the iniquity of the fathers unto the fourth generation. So we see the ongoing effect upon mankind. And so we've come to understand our need for redemption, for forgiveness, which comes through only one way: the blood of a spotless lamb. Throughout our Old Testament readings, we find that there was sacrifice instituted in the very beginning when God himself took the lives of two animals and made coats of skins to cover Adam and Eve. And from that time forward, we see the need and the requirement of not just sacrificial offering, because if that was the case, Cain would have been okay. But the requirement was blood to be given, because the wages of sin has to be paid. The wages of sin is death. There is a requirement of death. There is a requirement of the shedding of blood and the application of that blood to individuals to deal with the sin problem, the sin state. Once a year, which was termed the Day of Atonement, there was a sacrifice made by a high priest in the holy place. And on the Day of Atonement, when sacrifice was properly made, blood sacrifice. Matter of fact, killing the sacrifice at the altar of sacrifice, taking the blood and bringing it and then applying it to every piece of furniture in the process. Even the priest taking of the blood and putting it on his ear, his finger, his toe, was a sanctification process necessary, needful to position mankind to accept and receive an atoning for the sin that had entered into the world and was prevailing upon their lives. My understanding is that this sin is pushed ahead 1 year. The sins of Israel were pushed ahead 1 year to the next Day of Atonement, where once again a sacrifice was set aside, viewed, make sure that there's no blemishes, 4 days being looked at and observed, no blemish, because it would have been wrong to have offered a sacrifice that had a blemish, was lame, blind, some kind of a defect. It had to be a sinless, perfect, amen, a perfect sacrifice, the type and the shadow of the perfect offering that would come later on. Let's thank God for the blood. We're thankful for the blood, Jesus, that was shed to deal with sin and the sin that entered and came upon this world. The effect of sin upon mankind and every individual that year after year after year after year lived their lives under the effects of sin. The effect upon their mind, the effect upon their health, the effect upon their attitude and speech and lifestyle. Sin affects everything. Everything. Verse 18, therefore by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. This, of course, is far into the New Testament and reflecting back upon the history of mankind, of where they were, where they began, and where the Lord had brought them two. The first man, Adam, had his impact upon us. The second man, Adam, hopefully you're here today, and he has had an impact upon you. Hopefully. Romans 6 and 23, we already quoted this, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Luke chapter 24, at verse 45. Now there are many today who might communicate to you as they have communicated to others, if you'll just ask the Lord to forgive you, he will forgive you. And so it would seem, under that bit of wisdom, that all I would need to do would be to ask the Lord to forgive me. And I did that at 10 years old. I was instructed by somebody that told me, just ask the Lord to forgive you and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And I did that. But when I was 22 years old, Jesus came into my heart when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you want Jesus to come into your heart, your life, the throne of your life, then reach out and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because then according to Scripture, which is the tell-all, it will bring you to a new place in Him. Now, let's go back here just a minute. Luke chapter 24 at verse 45. This is toward the close of the book of Luke and, of course, it precedes going into the book of Acts. This is closing up on, this is actually now giving us history in the New Testament. The majority of the book of Luke tells of the Old Testament. And even during the declaration of the words of the man Christ Jesus himself, this took place in the Old Testament. A testament is of not a force of in force until the death of the testator. And the New Testament did not begin until after Christ . You ever noticed how even in the Scripture there's guys that would point the fingers at the Jews and say, you crucified him, you did this and you did that. And Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down and I pick it back up again. So therefore the work of what took place in what we call the week of the Passion was not God unable to fend off the evil of mankind, but it was He making a conscious choice. I am going to do something for mankind that while they have been under the effect, year after year, generation after generation, even though I made provision for atoning their sin year after year, those that obey, pushing it forward. I'm going to do something this week that will affect all of mankind back into time and ahead in time. One act. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I was a smart aleck. Just a little bit. Even when I came to the Lord. Even after I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I walked over to my pastor. He was standing at the door. I'd been in the church for 2 weeks. And I said, hey, you want to take me for a dip? You know, instead of respectfully saying to him, would you please baptize me by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins? I was the comedian. I was the comic. You know, hey, you want to take me for a dip? I thought I was being cool. I look back on that now with shame. But I didn't know what I was doing. Somebody showed me some scriptures. I just knew I hadn't been baptized. And so I went through the process, and it was wonderful. It was done right according to scripture. It was in the name of Jesus. I was buried in water by immersion. But I don't think I had a clue. Maybe until today. What was happening? The effects that I had bore on my life, now at the time for 22 years, the effect of previous generations and the sin in their lives that I carried in my generation, that in a moment, the blood was about to be applied. The blood that brought atonement to all of Israel. The blood that reaches down and can do a work that nothing else in this world can do. That can affect the situation that it affected me ever since sin entered into the world by the effects of one man. The blood was applied that day. Not only did it reach back and remove the effects, deal with and heal the effects. It reached forward in time and gave me a place in Him. Thank God for the blood. It's not water that saved you. It's not water that cleansed you. It was the application of the blood of a spotless lamb. The application came according to the word in repentance and water baptism. So here we are at the close of Luke. He's about to ascend. He tells him to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Acts chapter 2 at verse 36, we see the fulfillment. Now, I used to teach erroneously that people had to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in order to have remission of sin in their life. That's not the error part. The error part was this was the first time in Scripture, or this was the first time that man could receive the remission of sin. Yeah, watch real close here. Until a new convert pointed out to me, well, that's not actually true. Excuse me? I'm teaching the Bible study here. Oh, no, over in the book of Mark and actually a couple other places. John baptized unto repentance for the remission of sins. Read it, it's there. The word for remission is the same word as forgiveness. Okay. Now, that, of course, remember and understand, that was in the Old Testament. We know that the atoning plan in the Old Testament was the blood sacrifice of a high priest. And this is how we explain Jesus on the cross turning to the thief and saying, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." Because what that man who was obviously repentant in his heart, all he needed was a blood sacrifice offered by a high priest. And the high priest was on the cross next to him offering his own blood sacrifice. Therefore, purchasing his redemption. Old Testament. I don't know, I don't fully understand this, but there was this transition period of a man sent by the name of John who said, I am the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So he was preparing the entrance for the Lamb of God, which would show up that day. When he stepped, he was out there baptizing. He was baptizing unto repentance. The scripture says, for forgiveness, for remission of sin. And one day he looked over and there was, behold, the Lamb of God, which would take away the sins of the world. Acts chapter 2 at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. They that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Luke 24:47, it was announced that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. I used to read that believing that it had never been administered for the remission of sins, because it said beginning at Jerusalem, that would be the first time. But yet there were those that John baptized unto repentance for the remission of sins. Now stay with me here. This was the fulfillment of Acts 24:47. Acts chapter 4:10. Be it known unto you all, unto all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. They had prayed. A man was healed. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation. Neither can you be saved any other way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The critical point was not just that they were baptized. John was a forerunner, and so he was the announcer. He was the preparer of the way for he who would come suddenly to his temple, according to Malachi. The messenger of the covenant, the one that they delighted in. And he came. The importance was, or let's say the furtherance was, that this burial application in water that would apply the blood, the propitial blood, the once and final sacrifice, no need for another blood sacrifice or offering. From that point forward, this would be the final one, and this would be the one that would make everything that went back cleanse the lives of individuals, wash them. And those into the future, as they would be baptized in the name of Jesus and apply the blood. It's blood that deals with the sin. It's blood that conquers the sin. Question sometimes comes is, when's the application of the blood? Because I'm hearing individuals saying, well, look, you know, the Lord wants to forgive you. If you'll just ask him to forgive you, he'll forgive you. Well, here's my question. If that's the case, then why do you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins? If pre-baptism, if in my experience, in my relationship with God, I felt conviction, I responded maybe with tears, whatever the case, I wanted to turn or repent towards God, change a mind, change a heart, don't want to live my way anymore. And if I can pray and ask God to forgive me for my sin, then why would I need to be baptized? The Apostle Paul. No. The Pharisee Saul. In his mind, he's doing the will of God. He's dressed in the part. He's got the Pharisee clothing. He has been schooled at the greatest Bible college on earth, under the greatest teacher, Gamaliel. He is a student of the word. Someone would have called him a great man of God. And he was lost. He was lost in the process on the road. And on the road, he had, anybody else had one of these experiences? You know, you're just kind of riding down the road and a bright light shines. You're knocked down off of your horse. Oh, you don't ride horses. He's knocked to the ground. He's blinded by the light. Wow, what an experience. He must have gotten saved on the road to Damascus. I mean, does anybody else have a testimony like that? He heard a voice out of heaven. God's voice began to talk to him. Oh, my Lord. We would have labeled him prophet. We'd have built him a Facebook page. We would have set up a crusade around the country. We'd have called CNN, Fox, and TBN. And got him a preaching engagement. And received an offering. But that's not what happened. He said, you know, who are you? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. And he told them, listen, go into Damascus. It will be told you what you must do. I got to do something. I just experienced more than anybody else has ever experienced. And so many people qualify their experience with God by their experiences. Push the word of God aside and say, yeah, but wait. No, let me tell you how it happened. This happened. It was all supernatural. And somebody told me in a meeting. He went to Jerusalem. God dealt with Ananias. Ananias went into the house where Saul was. Saul had been blind for 3 days. He'd been fasting, not eating. He is truly turning to God. He's repenting. Ananias comes and prays for him. And he said, I've been sent here by the Lord to pray for you that you might receive the Holy Ghost and receive your sight. Scripture says scales fell as it was from his eyes immediately. I believe he received the Holy Ghost right then and there as he was praying for him. What's interesting is the account that he gives personally later on when he's sharing his testimony. He said, Ananias came into me. I think this is in Acts 22 or something. Ananias came in and prayed for me, and he said, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. So do you realize, even at this point, Paul's sin had never been dealt with in his life. He was having these supernatural events. He had a pedigree that was just a mile long. The guy was just, you know, everybody would have said things like, oh, he's just awesome. Oh, you never heard that? Yeah, the guy, Mo, he guy's just awesome. And I'm thinking, yeah, he's just a guy. The Lord's awesome. He's just a guy. So what are you going to qualify your personal experience to know? I am in the redeemed. I am his purchased possession. He paid a price I couldn't pay. The wage of my sin had to be paid. But I couldn't pay it. And he set a day aside. He set a moment in history aside. It wasn't easy. Scripture talks about a wrestling match in the garden. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. The weight of this is just overcoming me. The weight of what? It entered into the world a long time ago by the actions of one man. And whatever the effect had been upon mankind, he was now carrying and dealing with. And he was making his way to a day on a cross. That when that soldier, not realizing how he was being led, shoved a spear up in his side, and blood and water came gushing out. And that blood is what you sing about today. That blood is what dealt with your sin. When you went down in obedience in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven given among men where I must be saved. I think my wife's told me I'm kind of a stickler sometimes about terminologies and verbiage. And when I hear somebody make an inaccurate statement when it comes to the well-being or salvation of an individual that would cause them to falsely believe that they were in the redeemed, that their sin had been dealt with. There's only one way, according to Scripture. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 22. Nope, Acts 19. At verse 1, it kind of tricked me up because I've always gave Bible studies going from Luke 24, 47 to Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19 because of the succession that it shows and the historical accounts of salvation coming to the Jews, the Samaritans, and the Gentiles. And when that well-meaning new convert said to me, oh, no, no, no. There were people baptized for repentance, for remission of sins. No. Where? Show me. Well, looky that. What in the world? But you go to Acts 19, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said unto him, we haven't even heard so much as whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, what? Unto what then were you baptized? They said, oh, unto John's baptism. We were baptized unto repentance for the remission of sins. Now, it doesn't quite declare that. But if you read the other scriptures, you got to believe that's exactly what they said. We were baptized unto John's baptism. Old Testament. During the Old Testament. Listen to me. We got baptized during the Old Testament. John wasn't baptizing in the New Testament. If you remember, John lost his head in the Old Testament. Jesus hadn't made it to the cross. New Testament hadn't begun. The new covenant had not begun. The covenant which we live in. I just got to say this again. I get dismayed sometimes reading the Old Testament. I have a hard time believing that that's God. And so I can't wait to get to the New Testament. Okay. All right. Show me that side of you. Thank you. And maybe I can deal with some of the other side of you that I can't live there. I can't go there. Some of it I want to skip over. What about you? I'm not gruesome. But that's God. He reveals himself in ways so that we will know who he is. In his allness. Old Testament, New Testament, it's all about grace. Love your brother. Forgive everybody. It wasn't like that in the Old Testament. I'm telling you right now. It was bows and arrows, shovels and swords. Are you thankful? I'm thankful. He had me born into a New Testament season. Praise God. So they baptized those folks. They rebaptized them in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, under the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, whatever the reason, whatever took place in the old covenant and all that it provided, he found it necessary. He rebaptized them in the new covenant, laid hands on them, and they began to speak with other tongues. Begin to prophesy. Holy cow, you talk about a Bible study. Supernatural. Now, I asked somebody the other night, because they had told me I hadn't been baptized yet. And I just asked the question because it came to mind. Don't you suppose then that the effects of sin are still having a major impact on your life every day? I guess. So, can you imagine what life may be like if you'd get on the other side of that? Having been baptized, removing the effects of all those years of sin? The effect, the impact. Now, I know it's not going to change everything about you, but I promise you, it will erase some stuff. And cast it so far from us. How could life not be better? How could it not be new? How could it not be real? Take us into a dimension that we've never walked before, because we've always had this lingering stuff from our generation, our parents' generation. Oh, my Lord, grandma and grandpa's generation. And even their dad and mom. And its effect. Do you want to talk about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ today when it is applied in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name and the effect that it would have on your life? Some of us here have yet to have made that decision to obey. I'm hoping you're not living under the guise of, well, yeah, but I prayed and asked him to forgive me, and he's forgiven me. Not in the book. That's only later. You know, John said it this way, in 1 John. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Who's he writing to? He's writing to people who are post-book of Acts, post-Acts 2:38, post baptism experience, application of the blood in their lives. And he says, I'm writing to you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world that sin entered into. By one. Do we realize what he did at Calvary? Do we realize what has transpired in our life when we went down in a watery grave? I've been bought. Watch. Martin, who are you trying to kid, man? You're no different. You haven't changed. Come on. What about, you said that thing the other day. Yeah. You know, I told you. He didn't forgive you.
He forgave me.
Nah, you got no proof. Forgiven. You got no proof. How do you know? Yeah. Change in attitude. His purchased possession. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of a spotless lamb. Why don't you stand with me? Is he kicking you and robbing you of your joy? The blood of Jesus. Miko, I loved it when you sang all those songs about the blood today. Yeah, I thought, you don't even know where I'm heading, but the Lord does. Yeah. Oh, the blood. This world's kind of gotten ridiculous, I went to a family reunion one time, and my uncle organized a church service at the family reunion. He said, Larry, why don't you pick out some songs and lead us in some worship? Oh, boy, did I. I picked out 3 or 4 songs all about the blood. About 2 songs into it, he said, hey, let me take over. And I thought, he don't want to sing about the blood. What has happened to these people? They've been around, hanging around Christianity all their lives. And they... years later, he came to me and he said, where's your church at? Why do you ask? We're just looking for more fire. I thought, you gave it up when you decided not to sing about the blood. That's what you did. Fire is in the blood. Praise God. Could you pray with me right now? Lord, we're thankful for the blood. The impact upon our lives. Those things that you dealt with when you dealt with our sin problem. Let that blood run fresh. Fresh here today, Lord Jesus. Let it wash over us. Let it wash over us, Lord Jesus. Responsible now. You're responsible to the word that you've heard preached. So wherever you are on your station of life today, you're accountable. The Lord wants to help you. He wants to help you. He wants to affect your life today in a way that just has never taken place. Close your eyes. Put me in it. Let's be honest with the Lord. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. My sin needs to be dealt with, Lord. You're the only one that can do it. I need your blood applied to my life. I need its cleansing power. I need its healing power working in me. Jesus, I stand yielded to you, obedient to you, Father. However you would beckon. There's friends that we have. There's acquaintances. There's people in our family. And you know today, you know what, this is their answer. What they really need is the blood of Jesus applied to their life that can turn things in such directions for them. If there's somebody on your mind, I'd like to invite you to the front. Would you come and stand in proxy for them? Would you make an appeal to the Lord that they would surrender, that they would be drawn by His Spirit, that they would be obedient to your call upon their lives. In the name of Jesus, that it would bring a new beginning for some.
No.
the blindness from their minds, Father, that they could hear and receive in the name of Jesus. So wait a minute. They're okay then because God put his spirit in them. No. Peter had such an understanding of their need for redemption. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. You need this blood on your life. Yes, God in his grace, he poured out of his spirit upon you, but you need the effects of this blood applied to your life. Spirit or no spirit. I have to tell you, I wonder sometimes when I hear of people having received the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues and never having their sin dealt with according to Scripture by the applied blood that comes in water baptism in Jesus' name. Aren't you thankful the Lord sent a messenger into your life and showed you in the Word of God that you can qualify your experience